I know that we miss Brother Marshall tonight, but you don't miss him much as I do. You don't miss him much as I do. I didn't get my nap as I usually do on Sunday. I was in my study for the rest of the day. But I appreciate Brother Marshall, and I appreciate y'all. And tonight, how to put life together. How to put life together. I know we all know this old nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. You remember that? And then he say, oh, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king horses and all the king men. I've always thought that was kind of dumb. I didn't understand how a horse could put anything back together again. But it said it couldn't put him back together again. And, you know, Adam had a great fall. And this world had been trying to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But just like they couldn't do it in that nursery rhyme, and the world can't not put the great fall that old Adam had back together again. And you and I was in that great fall. This book here tonight, it tells us, if you read and study this little short book, how to put life together again, or either how that the Christian life works. How that the Christian life works. And I'm telling you, it really works. God have instructed us in this little book how that put life back together again. To learn what the Christian life is all about, and how the Christian life works today. We know that in Paul's day, there was a lot of heresies going around. Jesus Christ is fine, but you need something else. Well, things have not changed a great deal, because today there's still a lot of heresies, and this was taught in the fellowship, and we hear this a lot today. A different thing being taught. We know that from time to time that you'll see these two young boys ride bicycles in town with white shirts on, and they'll tell you, if they stop and knock on your door, they get a chance to talk to you, they'll tell you that they believe in Jesus Christ. We are a Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we believe in Jesus Christ. But they use the same words we do, but they have a different dictionary, and they're heresies. Really, they're a false cult. And they was in Paul's day, and they in our day also. They say they believe in Jesus Christ, but they say, well, he's a way. But no, he's not a way. He is the way, the only way. As I read the verse of Scripture, Paul is telling us and giving us a theme that goes through the book. Every book in the Bible is wrote for a special occasion for each and every one of our lives. And this book is wrote, if you will read it and understand it, is for the completeness that we have in Jesus Christ. It tells how the Christian life really works, and how that we are complete in Jesus Christ as you study this book, and the fullness of the fellowship that we have with one another in Christ Jesus. The theme all the way through this little short book, Paul is telling us about that, and I hope that you understand this whenever we begin to open up this book this hour. And the verse 1 of this chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Thank you, Paul. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Thank you, Pleasant Hill. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the words of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringing forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day we heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Yes, ye also learn Epaphras, our dearly faithful brother, our fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto you your love in the Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this night for the mercy, Lord, you showed upon us this day to allow us to be here and to worship you, Lord, this night. We thank you, we praise you for what you have done in our life and what you're going to do. And we thank you, Father, so many people are on our prayer list, so many people are sick. And Father, we know that you will honor your name, O God, by touching them in a very special way. And Lord, that your name might be glorified even here this night. Lord, we want to thank you again, Lord, the fullness of the Spirit of God that we have. And Father, we thank you for the presence, Lord, we know that's with us this hour, because you promised we're two or more gathered in your name, Lord, that you'll be there. And we just want to thank you. Father, we know that you're with us today. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and amen and amen. The fullness that you have, and it kind of lifts us up in this word. It lifts us up here in this little short book. That everything that you need to live this Christian life is in Christ Jesus, and it's the fullness that we have, and we're complete in Jesus Christ. It's like a man that bought a Rolls Royce. I don't even know what one of the things looked like, but I was reading about it anyway. And he didn't know how much horsepower the thing had. I don't either. But he got to wondering how much horsepower that his car had. So he went back to the salesman. He asked the salesman, said, "Can you tell me how much horsepower this thing's got?" And he says, "No, I can't, but I'll talk to the manager and see if I can find out." Well, he talked to the manager, and the manager said, "Well, I don't know how much horsepower that thing's got." Well, the man, he wasn't satisfied with their explanation, so he wrote back to the company where they manufactured this Rolls Royce and asked him about the horsepower. And they wrote him back one word, and it said, "Adequate. Adequate. The horsepower will be adequate." Here in this book, Paul is telling you in the Christian life, there's how much power do you have in Christ Jesus? You don't know, do you? Paul says it's adequate for whatever comes into your life as Christians. It's adequate. We don't have to worry about it. It's here. The book is very powerful. It completes us in Jesus Christ, and we're connected with Jesus Christ. And the characteristic of this Christian life, and it tells us about this, is as many people start in this Christian life, in verse 1 and 2, we find out that we have a new relationship. A new relationship, or really we just have a new relation. And that is Christ Jesus and our brothers and sisters, to the saints and to the faithful brethren there. Now to the saints. Now, you know, Paul is talking to us, the saints. That's at Pleasant Hill. You say, "Oh, no, I'm not a saint." Well, if you're not a saint, you ain't. One of the two. If you're not a saint, you ain't. But Paul says, and the Bible says, that if you're saved, you are a saint. You say, "No, I know what a saint is. That's that football team out there in New Orleans. That's what that is. That's a saint, that football team." Or either it's a Mother Teresa that, you know, the Pope can automatically, you know, after she passes away, can lift her to sainthood. That's what a saint is a Mother Teresa. Paul says, "I'm not writing to the morgue. I'm not writing to the graveyard. I'm writing to save people. I'm writing to people that's alive right now, to you." And he says, to the saints, to the born again, to the saints. Do you feel like a saint tonight? Do you feel like a saint tonight? Need to ask your wife or your husband or your children, are you really a saint? Are you really a saint? The Bible says we are saints. That don't mean that, you know what, we sinless. Y'all know that, don't you? But we are saints, and that's our position in Christ Jesus. And a saint means to be set apart. When God called you, he set apart you for a certain task. For a certain task. And we find this completion in this task in this small little book. You know, in the tabernacle and also in the temple, the vessels were set aside. This vessel was used for a certain thing. The tongs were used for take the coals off of the altar. Those tongs was used for a certain thing. They were set apart for that. And you didn't go get those tongs and use it for anything else. The flesh hooks, it was hooked into the flesh and brought that flesh back onto the center of that plier. That was called flesh hooks. And they were set aside, and every one of those instruments and those vessels in the tabernacle and also in the temple was used for a special thing. They had a special task to do. They were set aside. Well, saint is what he's talking about. You have been set aside for a special task that God's called for every one of us. We are special. Every one of us have a different calling that God set apart for you. A lot of us used to, you know, you had this in your house, had the china cabinet, and most people had what they call a fine china. And honest time, you use that whenever special guests come over. Well, we've got away from that at our house a little bit. Now, we use fine china about all the time. And what we do with our fine china, we get through with it, we put it in the garbage because we buy it down there at Walmart. That's our fine china. But used to, y'all remember you had these, all everybody had these china cabinets. You had these special plates and cups and all this stuff. We about got away from that. But they had a special occasion, this fine china. But you see, you're called for a special person. and a special purpose that God has called you this day. Don't get apart from that. Now, you called out of darkness into the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you've been called out of death into life in Christ Jesus. Those two things we know are our calling. Out of the darkness that we did not see, did not understand, because we was darkened by this fallen nature that we have, into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. And I was dead in trespasses and sin. But Jesus Christ called me out of death into life. I'll never die. Isn't that good to know that you won't never die? I'm telling you, that's a blessing, isn't it? Oh, that's a blessing. Oh, it don't mean this old body won't go back to the dust of the earth, but this old body is not the real me. The real me is inside. You can't see the real me. God knows about it. It's called the spirit and the soul. Oh, I get another body one of these days, but the real me won't never die. You won't never have to worry about death because God took care of that. You've been called from death into life in Christ Jesus. Never will be separated from God. Never, ever again. Pleasant Hill, you've been called for that special reason. And faithful brethren, saints you are. Now it says for the faithful brethren. We are saints and we've been set aside and be called saints. Every one of us. Now you see when a ball team like a football team, there's different people plays different positions, right? Well, you know you have a different position to play in the body of Christ and God has called every one of us to play a different position. For instance, a position, you know, I don't know anything about ball whatsoever. I don't play ball. I don't like ball. I don't care about ball. I don't watch ball, but I read about it. And then this position of ball playing, this football player, they tell me there's a guard. We'll take this for instance. That's a position. Now, this guard is called to fill this position as a guard. Now, is he called to fill this position? And through his skill and his training and good coaching and the experience he has from game to game, he gets better at his position. You understand? As the years goes on, as the training goes on, this young man called to be a guard for that team and all the training and all the coaching and all the experience, he gets better at what he's called to be as a guard. You see, it says called to be saints. You see, each day that we work and we grow, we get better in what we're called to do, to be saints. He's called to be a guard. You're called to be saints of God. Well, every day, every practice, if we stay in tune with God, every time we get better at what we're called to do. Through our training, through our coaching with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God, and through the experience that God gives us, we get better at our position called saints. And you're getting real good at it, far as I'm concerned, Pleasant Hill. You see, his performance begins to live up to his position. His performance, he begins to live up to his position he was called for. You see, your performance in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, you begin to live up to your position that God has called you to. You understand? Y'all understand? Thank you. You're called to. Guards. Called to be guards. You're called to be guards. You're called to be saints. You call to be saints. That's what the book is all about for us to understand, to be called to be saints. And then you see, we have a new relation, but we have also a new location. We're talking about people that just got saved. We got a new location. This group here just got saved in Colossae. Saints in Christ at Colossae. Saints in Christ at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. That's who he's talking to tonight. In Christ Jesus. Now you see, you have your location. We have two locations. We have our spiritual location and our physical location. You see, our physical location, most of us have the address, Patterson, Georgia. You know, that's where you're at. Somebody say, where do you live? Patterson, Georgia. Of course, I don't live in Patterson, Georgia. Some of you do, but you call it Patterson, Georgia. Now, we find out about our spiritual. Where is it at? Is our spiritual location? Well, the Bible tells in 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, in Adam all die. In Christ shall all be made alive. Our physical birth, we was born here, we live here now in Patterson, Georgia. But you see, whenever you call out of the death into life and you call out of darkness into light, then you call in, that gives you a spiritual birth when you're saved. And your spiritual birth then, you see what you're doing with the spiritual birth, that you're living in the atmosphere of Jesus. Now, this is your training time here on this earth to be more of what we call to be. And we're living in the atmosphere of Jesus because we're called out, because Jesus Christ is with us every day. And this is completion that we have in Christ Jesus. For instance, a bird lives in the atmosphere of the air. A fish lives in the atmosphere of water. A tree lives in the atmosphere of the soil. A saint, which you are called, what? Lives in the atmosphere of Jesus Christ. You're living in the atmosphere of the Lord if you're saved, called to be saints. You have a new relation, but you have a new location. You're living in the atmosphere of Jesus Christ. See, location determines also our destination. You got to be in Christ because that determines your destination, which is heaven. In Adam all died, in Christ Jesus all shall live. But location also determines, you know, your daily behavior because you are a saint. You are a guard of that football team. So that is that's your job as a guard, as a saint of God. And it determines our behavior. As I said, that Rolls Royce, what you need to live this Christian life, everything you need is adequate in Christ Jesus. Everything. I know so many times that as old fallen nature we have, and we say so many times, well, we know we're going to sin. Yeah, I'm a sinner. I know I'm going to sin. And we do. We sin. A lot of times, you know what? We want to sin. We don't have to, but we want to sin, and we'll sin. Yeah, you sitting here, you're saint tonight, but also that you sin. But you don't have to sin. This is telling us in this book, we don't have to. We got everything we need. Everything in Christ Jesus is adequate for us not to sin and not to fall, not to do this. But we know how we are. We got this old fallen nature. And a lot of times we make excuse for that, but we know we don't have to sin. It's adequate. Jesus Christ, all the strength that we need to live, you know what? God says you have it. Now, if I was on an island somewhere and couldn't get off and I want to get a message out to someone to come and save me and maybe have me a pen and a pencil and paper and I just wrote out, help me, I'm on this island so-and-so, and I just fill out this piece of paper and I just folded up as tight as I could and I just threw it out there in the water, what would happen to that piece of paper? Well, before long, you know, the ink would just disappear and the paper, it would just disappear and just fall in the bottom and never be able to read to help me. But if I had a bottle and a piece of paper and a pen, suppose I wrote on that piece of paper, save me, put it in that bottle, put a cork on it and sealed it, and then throwed it into the water, you see, that message would be, help me, save me. It would be in the water, but the water wouldn't be in the bottle because Jesus Christ. You see, we are in Christ Jesus. This world really can't get to us. You know, it can't wash us away. Because we're in Christ and we're sealed to the day of redemption. Y'all understand you're sealed? Holy Spirit of God, He called you and He sealed you. You see, we got help because we're sealed to the day of redemption. This world really can't get to a Christian. Now, it's going to work on us, amen? The devil can't get to you either because you see, you're in Christ Jesus. You're under the blood. He can't get to you. Oh, but he can do some work on you, amen. I'm going to tell you what, the devil can work on you. This world can work on you. This old fallen flesh, we got enemies and they still want to work on you. But if you're in Christ Jesus, you're in that bottle. And I don't care all the water around you, it can't get to you because it's sealed up. You are in Jesus Christ. And I tell you, this world and the devil, and I'm going to tell you, even your fallen flesh cannot get to you because what we have in Christ Jesus is adequate for every situation in our life. I just don't use mine like I should. Do you use yours like you should? We all fall short because we don't use it like we should use it. Christian life, we are connected to Jesus Christ. We're in the atmosphere of Jesus Christ. Now, you see, we have a new relationship. You're saints, but we have a new location in Jesus Christ. He's been called us out of darkness into the light, out of death into life. You see, we have this new location. New salutation also. It says there in verse 2, it says, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two words. That's grace and that's peace. New salutation. You know, that's the way that God meets mankind. Grace is the first approach he has to meet mankind. You know, that was the first approach that God approached me was in grace. It wasn't on merits of how good I was. How about you? It wasn't how good I lived my life, but he met me on this word. It's called grace, the grace of God. He met me where I was at. He comes to where you at, and he meets you. This is the first approach that God makes to mankind is on grace. He comes to meet you on grace. You and I are saved not because they're good in us, because they're grace in God. There's grace in God, not the goodness of us, because you see, God says none of us are good, not one. He said, you know, all of your righteousness are filthy rags in my sight. No righteous, no goodness. How could God meet with us? Grace. That's the way he met with me. Grace come upon me. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, many times as we've read this, for by grace you are saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace is the first that touches mankind. That's the first thing that touches my heart, and the first thing that touches your heart is grace. Grace and peace. There it is, the word peace. There's two words. First, it must be grace. You know, a lot of people are trying to find peace with God without the grace of God. It won't work. Grace always comes first. There will be no peace in a person's life unless, first of all, they accept the grace of God. Your life is torn apart, because that's what we know that worry does. Worry is pulls apart. Peace puts back together again. Humpty Dumpty sat on that wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Well, that's worry, and it'll tear your life apart. Worry will tear your life apart. But you see, peace puts your life back together again. And that's what this book is all about, the grace and the peace of God. You see, because every one of us had this great fall, and we broke into a lot of pieces, have we not? But only God can put us back together again. Only God can put us back together again. And it tells us this peace. You know, as people say, boy, I want peace. Well, after you get saved, you got grace, you know, you're saved by grace, and then God gives you peace. Does that mean you won't have any more trouble? That's not the peace that he's talking about. A lot of people think, man, when I'm saved, man, I've got it made, now I won't have any more trouble. A lot of times you might have more trouble. Boy, that's a good invitation, isn't it? You might have more trouble. But the difference is, peace is not the absent from problems, and it's not the absent from trouble. Peace is the presence of the Lord. That should lift you up. You got the presence of the Lord. That's the peace. It's not absent from trouble, but you got somebody that come again in the trouble with you, and you got the presence of the Lord. And that means the peace, you know, it passes all understanding of this world. How do you go through what you're going through? How do you stand this? People don't understand it, because God says, you know, this peace passes all understanding. The world don't understand why. God says, I'll give you this peace. Why? Because I'm there with you. My presence is with you. You know, you got any time that you're going through anything in your life, God's presence is with you. And I appreciate the presence of God whenever I'm going through the things I have to go through. I think about old Brother Marshall, what he's going through right now, and I appreciate the Lord whenever he is with me. Boy, he was right there. I could just feel the presence of God with me. And through your prayers and prayers of people, you're going through some problems and things, I mean, the presence of God, that's the peace, and it passes all understanding and knowledge of mankind. We can't explain this. Mankind don't understand what it is, the peace of God, but it means the presence of God is with you no matter what you're going through. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your presence with us, not when we get to heaven, but right now, because you see, eternal life is not something you're going to get way out there in the future. Eternal life is now. That means the presence of Jesus Christ will never leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You always got the presence of God with you. Whether you realize it or know it, if you're a saint of God being called, you always got this presence. The second thing, the basic of this Christian life. The basic of this Christian life. Well, verse 4 and 5, you know, as we read it, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Well, a lot of time you see, you watch on television, and maybe they have some of these terrorists, you know, these shoe bombers, some of these terrorists, you know, that blowed up whenever those people was running there. I don't know what city they was running in, those marathon run, and they blowed up people and killed some people, you know, and they got to seeing these people coming from overseas, you know, and they was Muslims, and they, you know, and they said, you know what, we had a problem because we didn't join the dots together. You know, we didn't join the dots together. They was Muslim, and they had sent back to, and different things they had in life, and we had all this on record, and this group knew this, and this group knew this. But we didn't join the dots together to realize that they was terrorists and how we could head them off. So what the Lord here in these two verses of Scripture, he said, I want you to join some dots. Now, you having a problem in your life? He said, I want you to join some dots together that you might be understand the fullness, you know, of Christ Jesus, and the Christ is adequate for any problem that you have in your life. And you see, the connecting these completes these dots in verse 4 and 5. And these three is, I got them circled in my Bible, and these three dots is faith and love and hope. As you join these dots, you will find out, as you join these together, all three of them works and explains to us about this Christian life that Paul is trying to tell the people at Galatia. You join these dots together to understand this. That's what the Bible is all about. And this first dot there is faith. And this faith deals with our past. You know, we all had a past. You know, we always come short of the glory of God. All sin comes short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We all come under that same thing. And this first dot there is faith. We have that past part. And faith directs us towards a person. That's what it did. God gave you this faith, and he pointed you towards Jesus Christ. So as we join that dot together and understand what that dot is, the first dot we got to find out is faith. Just like the first dot they already understood about those men that come over here, they was Muslims. That was the first dot. And that already showed him something else in their trip back into the foreign countries and what they was involved in. He should have got these dots all connected, that they would have knew about this. Well, if you don't join these dots together, you're going to be confused about your Christian life. You're going to be confused what God is trying to tell us, the completeness that we have in Jesus Christ, and he's adequate to every problem we have. And I tell you, if you don't have no problem tonight, you're liable to have one tomorrow. You're liable to have one tomorrow. It might be death, it might be all time, because you need to join these dots together. Now, to start with, we find out this dot is our path through faith. 2,000 years ago, that Jesus Christ took care of that, because you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and he took care of our past. And up to Christ, Jesus Christ, up to the point whenever I got saved from then on, I don't have to worry about that past, because Christ took care of that. You're called out of darkness in this marvelous light. And to start with, the first dot you need to connect is by faith. God gave you that faith. People is saved because God came to them in mercy. He gave them that faith that they want to trust in him. He is adequate for their life to be saved, not just in this life, but the life to come and for hereafter. Faith is that first little dot that you need to understand. Circle that into your Bible. That takes care of our past. It deals with our past. But you see, we are three dimensions. We have a past, a present, and a future. Well, how about the here and now? You told me about my past. Yeah, I understand that about my past. But how about here and now? Well, love deals with our present right now. That's how we get along. Loving our brothers, love each other. To all the saints, it says, this love takes care of our present. You know how that we survive each day? By the love of God. How do you survive? By the love of God. You know the reason we're here tonight? By the love of God. And it puts, as you put this together by your faith and then the love of Christ, you carry it to that next level, and you join those two dots together. It's by faith in Christ Jesus and by the love of the Father. He has shed love into our heart. We didn't have this love. He shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Spirit of God. He gave me this love. I couldn't love people like I want to love people. You can't love your family like you need to love your family. You can't love unless you join these dots together by faith in Christ Jesus. And he said, you know what? He shed abroad in the heart the love of Christ. He puts that love into you, and that takes care of your present life. Did you know what? You can love now because Christ Jesus is in you. You join those two dots together by faith. That's take care of your past, and then the love takes care of your present, now that you can love like you need to love because you love through Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus in you and showing you and teaching you how to run that race. And he's telling you what, you are that guard in that football team, and you keep practicing this and you get better and better at what God's called you to do. That's the love. That takes care of our present. And then that third dot that we join together, as we see, is hope. Now, this word hope takes care of our future. It's not hope something's going to happen, but this guarantees that hope takes care of our future. Now, I don't know how some old people gets by as your people grows old and they don't have anything to look forward to. You know what? That's terrible, isn't it? But you see, a lot of times we say, you know, and we get kind of wore out in this old body we have, and a lot of times we say, well, their best days is behind them. Not if you're a Christian, not if you join these dots together, because our hope deals with the future. Your better days for every one of us is in the future. Do y'all know that? I don't care how old you are or what you're going through. Your better days is in the future. And it's talking about our eternal hope. You see, there's what we call a nursing home. I don't have to worry about a retirement home. I already have one. It's in heaven. It's already in heaven. We're going there one day. And I have these three dots together in my life about my past. This faith takes care of my past, and this love takes care of the present, and this hope takes care of my future. I don't know how I'm going to make it in the future. We don't know what this world is going to throw at us, but I know one thing, this hope takes care of our future. Every one of us, this hope we have. Sad that people, you know, live their life and they never really understand what life is all about. I know some people like that. It's getting all up in their age too. And they don't know what life is all about. It's like this old mountaineer that lived there at the foot of the Smoky Mountains, and he lived down there in the valley. He never climbed that mountain. Looked way out at a tall mountain. He lived all his life there in that valley, and never climbed that mountain. But his family persuaded him one day to take him and climb that mountain. And when he did, got to the top of that mountain, he saw the beautifulest sunset he had ever saw. Oh, he said, all my life I've lived in this valley, and I've never really understand the great beauty there was behind this mountain. He never climbed that mountain. He never saw it. He lived his life in the shadow of that valley. And there's a lot of people, I'm going to tell you this day, is growing old, and they have never climbed the mountain called Calvary and saw the beautiful light that Jesus Christ has exposed to each and every one of us. Think about that, what you've got to look forward to. And then the dynamics of this Christian life. The dynamics of this Christian life. Verse 5 said the word of the faithful, of the truth of the gospel, the message of truth. The Bible corresponds to the fact of each and every one of us. It's the fact. You see, nowadays a lot of people tell you there are no absolutes, but I'm going to tell you there's absolutes in the Word of God. And this is what we have to go by, the Word of God. And I like to keep pointing people to the Word of God, to the Word of God, to the Word of God. An airplane pilot flying an airplane, and you know, sometimes the snow begins to fall and go through storms, and they can't see. And this airplane pilot I was reading about said, you know, the vision was blinding him. He could not see. And he said he felt like he was upside down, and they was flying upside down. He said, I felt like I was upside down, but I really didn't know. Well, he looked at his instruments, and his instruments said he was right side up. But he felt like he was upside down. Now, let me ask you, would you go by your feelings, or would you go by the instruments? Because this is a life and death situation for the pilot and everybody on board. But I tell you, when you go by your feelings and not by the instruments of the Word of God, it's a life and death experience. You better understand what the Bible says and not what people feels. What people feels. John said in John 14:6, I am the truth. Death decision because of the instruments of the Word of God, what it says. You see, the resourceful message that we have from the Word of God in verse 6, which is coming to you as it is to all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. It says there, in truth. This is also a universal message. The Word has come to the all world. He's coming to you, and whosoever will believe on Jesus Christ has come to the whole world. It's a universal message. It's a resourceful message. The Bible is, and it tells us. So many people don't believe the Word of God. They have it, but they don't believe the Word of God. He says, this truth is coming to you. And the truth how that you live your life is coming to you. Not only just how to have life, but have it more abundantly. The universal application of it. And then it talks about a faithful man there in verse 7. Epaphras, the learner of him, dear fellow servant, excuse me, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Epaphras He was a link. Paul was preaching to that church. He's preaching to new people there. But this man was a link that God used to get the gospel truth out to those people. Now, he used him as a great link in a message. Now, Pleasant Hill, you know what? God has called you. You are saints. He's called to use you. And you know what? Whether you like it or not, you are a link in God's golden chain of salvation to reach other people. That's what God called you for and me for other people. We are a link. As we come to church and we think about this, now, during this week, you will probably come in contact with maybe each day three or four people that you need to talk to about Christ. But you think about just the people sitting here this hour. If you come in contact with three or four people every day and you multiply that 3 times 7, 21, and then you multiply that by everybody in here, you know what? That is a lot of people. That's a lot of people that we're going to come in contact this week. And God calls you to be a link, to be the faithful man, to be the faithful person in this link, to bring and to help someone find their way to Jesus Christ. But oh, it's such a wonderful, wonderful miracle in verse 6. The miracle of grace that we have here this hour. The miracle of grace and salvation. It says that you will bring fruit also. And this is what it's talking about, that we might bring fruit. Salvation is coming to you and you begin to be fruitful. You begin to be the better guard in that football team that God has called you to be. You be the better saint that God has called you to be. And you be the one that bears fruit because God has called you to be. If I had a grain of corn in my hand, I could hold you up this grain of corn. And this grain of corn, you see, has all the DNA it needs to produce many, many other grains of corn. Amen? It has everything in that to produce corn. That's the reason you plant grains of corn in your cornfield and it harvests many, many million more than what people have planted. And just about all type of grain. In that little bitty corn seed, God has put everything in that corn seed that it need to be to produce other corn seeds and many, many more. Well, God in Christ Jesus, he has put in you that same DNA in Christ Jesus to produce many, many other Christians. God has given that to you. He's called you. He's placed it. He's put that in you. Inside you are the completeness. How to put life back together again. It's up to us. God has given it to you. It's inside of you. Spirit of God lives in you, in Christ Jesus, in the fullness of Christ. It's up to each and every one of us to use these instruments that God has given us, is the Word of God. For us to be on this football team as a guard, to be able to study, to be able to work, to be able to practice, and the coaching that we have with one another to be the guard that God has called us to be the saint of God that God has already called us to be, each and every one of us. As we crack open this little book, I want to thank you tonight. As we come for the song of invitation, and for all the saints that are here, if there's an ain't that's here, you can be a saint before you leave here this night. Accept that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And follow Jesus Christ. Now, you know, the book didn't tell us, the Bible don't tell us that we're perfect. But it tells us how that we can strive. He give us everything that we need to live this Christian life and to be the saints that God has called us to be in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the saints at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church that's with us this hour. I praise you and I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.